SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
We have some news. Kyrie Irving, Brandon, you're gonna like this. Traded to the Dallas Mavericks. Look, the Brooklyn Nets have traded Kyrie Irving and Markieff Morris to the Dallas Mavericks for Dorian Finney-Smith, former Nets Spencer Dinwiddie, an unprotected 2029 first-round pick, and a two second round picks, I'm sorry, in 2027 and 2029. Now, there was some talk earlier this afternoon. The trade was not official yet. The Nets reportedly by Woj, were looking for a third team to possibly go ahead and get into the trade, basically. So they were looking to make it a three-way trade. They had their eyes allegedly on players like Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, and OG Anunoby out of Toronto. Ultimately, they were not able to make that happen. And the trade was finalized with Dallas later this afternoon. Now, Kyrie did tweet out some love for the Nets fans and said, "Thank you, Nets World fans." That's what they call themselves. "And supporters, for the love on and off the court. I will forever be grateful. I got to live out my dream as a kid, and it will always be love from me and my family." Now, for those of you who don't know, Kyrie is from Jersey, so he obviously was a New Jersey Nets fan growing up. So he did get to play for the new version of that franchise. Now, LeBron was tweeting through his emotions since the trade went down. LeBron James, he was tweeting through his emotions. Now, if you recall, there was talk about the Lakers making a push for Kyrie, which would reunite former Cavs teammates, and they did not get the deal done. Now, it was reported that Pelinka did not make a move for the Lakers. Now, some other people are saying that the Nets were just asking for just everything but the kitchen sink, basically, for Kyrie Irving, knowing the Lakers would not take the bait, ultimately sabotaging the trade. It also is reported that Joe Tsai was not interested in trading Kyrie Irving to his preferred destination. So it's a little bit of a pettiness going on there from Joe Tsai. But LeBron, you know, did tweet, "Maybe it's me," after the trade went down. So he's tweeting through his emotions. But he also had an exclusive interview with ESPN that aired later this afternoon. And he spoke on the Lakers not getting Kyrie. Listen to this.
"Well, definitely disappointed. I can't sit here and say I'm not disappointed on not being able to land such a talent, but someone that I had great chemistry with and know I got great chemistry with on the floor that can help you win, championships in my eyes. But my focus has shifted now. My focus has shifted back to where it should be, and that's this club now, and what we have in the locker room.
That's
guys,
a quick pivot, LeBron.
It's a quick pivot. It don't take me long. I don't get too excited about the possibilities of things that can be. I kind of envision myself on what it can, but I don't invest it all the way until I know it's happening. Okay. And when it does not happen, I'm back locked in on the job at hand. So. You know, we had an opportunity. Our names was out there. The Lakers' name was out there. We had an opportunity. Didn't happen. We move on, and we finish the season strong, try to get a bid into the postseason, where I feel if we go in healthy, and we compete with anybody."
Now, LeBron knows the number one rule to happiness. You know what that is, Brandon? Is you don't. If you don't expect things, you can't get disappointed. So he's basically saying in so many words, "Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't get my hopes up, because once that disappointment
hit,
it was easier for the pill to swallow." But a lot of people, as they normally do when trades go down, are debating who won the trade, who didn't win the trade, who's more likely to go ahead and see more success. So I'll start with you. First of all, how are you feeling about Kyrie in Dallas? I know that, you know, you're sad as a quote unquote Nets fan. So,
yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. Well, I'm actually in, Soho right now at Bang Bang Tattoos, getting my head tattooed. So I'm literally 10 minutes away from the Barclays Center. You know, I hit up a few guys on the team, asked for one ticket to come watch them tonight. Ben didn't come through. Some of my guys didn't come through. So I'm stuck here, right? Like, I wanted to go celebrate with our team right now. You know why I wanted to celebrate, Ashley?
It's
because
no
now
idea.
We can, because we can move forward now. We can move forward.
Okay.
Is it a sad day for us? Absolutely. When you think about what it could have been with James Harden and Kyrie, or hell, just Kyrie and KD this year. Like, he started playing some of his best ball over the last 15 games. This was a contending team. I'm not going to go on the rant right now, but I'm disappointed, but I'm also excited that we can move forward and figure out a way to make something happen before the trade deadline on Thursday. LeBron James. LeBron James is a damn lie. He's lying right now. He know he's hurt, and this is going to sting for a long time. When's the last time we saw we've seen LeBron James go on ESPN and do an interview? Usually he goes on the shop when he wants to speak his mind.
He did an interview on ESPN maybe like 2 weeks ago.
Come on, that was because he was what? Because he broke a record.
He didn't break the record yet. He was just sitting
down.
No,
but he passed one of the guys.
Yeah, but he was also talking about reaching the Kareem record.
Correct. This is, yes. So he's
40 points away.
So you're going to see LeBron on this little media tour, but basically he's doing things that he's never done before. And this whole Kyrie thing, like, he's hurt, and he's sending a message to the Lakers organization. I think this is bigger than what that he's a legend. Wait years. That's what they're doing right now. LeBron James, AD's a part of that whole this whole scandal, right? LeBron James should be like fighting for number six right now. He should be fighting to tie MJ. So LeBron James is hot, and I don't know why I didn't get my LeBron James soundbite. LeBron James, but I should have gotten that.
LeBron
James. There you go. I'm disappointed not only for the Nets fans, but I'm also disappointed for LeBron, man, because this dude works his ass off to put himself in position to contend. He knows without a Kyrie, he's not a contender. You can't tell me he thinks, oh, now I'm going to shift my focus to this organization. No, bro. When the last time we heard LeBron James talk about, well, I'm just fighting to get in the playoffs. What? You're trying to be what? A play-in team, LeBron? That's what we doing? Come on, Ashley.
I will say this. I think that this is one of those situations where I don't think anybody necessarily won, at least not immediately. I think that Dallas won in terms of offense, but I don't think they won in terms of defense, and I don't think the return on offense is going to be as immediate as people think. It's very, very, there's only a short window of time left in the regular season for Luka and Kyrie to kind of figure out who is going to do what on that team. Who is going to go ahead and be, the primary ball handler. Kyrie is not somebody who's like a Steph Curry who can just kind of run and shoot. He's somebody who needs to kind of get his feet set and then go ahead and pull up a shot. So it's going to be interesting to see how Luka adjusts his game as someone who likes to have the ball in his hand very often to go ahead and adhere to Kyrie's style of play. That's on the Dallas side. Although I do think Dallas will be in a better position more immediately than I think Brooklyn will be. I think Brooklyn's going to have a plethora of different problems. I think this is a team that went into this season as probably top three in the East to go ahead and make a stab at the finals, or at least Eastern Conference finals. I think right now, we'll dive into the trade deadline because that can change things. But right now, currently constructed, this team is a first round exit.
It is.
Now,
let's bet.
Now, hold on.
Are you a betting woman?
I do not. I'm not a better. But I will say this.
Let's just have fun.
I will say this, though. If they make a move by the trade deadline, and when I say a move, a substantial one, where I'm talking you get size, you get offense, you get defense, by that February 9th deadline, then you can start looking at the Nets and that roster and saying, okay, is there enough to make something out of the disaster that we have just kind of seen ourselves through. But I think right now, yeah, you have Dinwiddie, you have Dorian Finney-Smith, who will give you defensive effort. So that's great. I just think that the two of them are going to have to score roughly 20 points a night, or around 17 points a night on average, to make up for the offense that Kyrie Irving gave you. For all the headache that Kyrie comes with as a person,
he's averaging 27.
Basketball player. He's well, let's round that to 30. I was rounding it to 30. So we'll
okay, then you're good. You're good.
He's an incredible basketball player. We've never seen a skill set quite like his. So it's going to be hard to replace that. And it's going to be even harder to duplicate that in some sense. So you're going to either need another guy on that roster to step up their points per game, or you're going to need your two new acquisitions to go ahead and give you at least half each to equal the whole of Kyrie Irving. Or we look for February 9th and we see if some more pieces are moved to get a player of a Kyrie points per game caliber, maybe
you're
not a skill set, points per game caliber, and then the Nets may be in a different situation. Right now, this is not a team that comes out of the first round. Right now.
Well listen, when you have Kevin Durant, you could
don't
potentially
have Kevin Durant right now.
He will be back, though. Sorry, is he not going to be back soon? Come on now. Call Kevin and ask him. Say, Kevin, will you be back before next month? And he's going to say yes.
Kevin Durant is a hooper, right? So, of course, he's going to be back. He's not a guy who sits on the bench because he didn't get his way. He's going to go ahead and put the work in. So, yes, he's going to be there. Is he going to rush back from his injury as he would have if Kyrie was still there and they had an opportunity to go ahead and make some real noise? I don't know. Would you?
Yeah, hoopers are different. Hoopers are soft. You know, these injuries that these hoopers deal with.
No, he's not soft. I didn't mean by that. I meant he's a hooper. He loves to hoop. Like, that's his thing.
I know. But what I'm saying is, you asked me what he would he rush back. At like football players, we're back in 5 or 10 days. Excuse my language, SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher. But no, man, like football players, we're back so fast, and he's been out a month. So like, that's why I say hoopers are soft, and it's not just KD. It's all basketball players. Look, I think when you have KD, Ashley, it is hard. I do see them making it out of the first round because you have him. Remember, he almost made it to the freaking finals by himself. He was a toenail. And you know, he got some big old toenails. He was a toenail away from actually taking the team where they needed to be without James Harden or a Kyrie, right? So he can get it done. He's that dynamic. He's that special. Now, the other thing that you talked about that I want to push back on is the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving absolutely makes the Dallas Mavericks special, because you talked about well, it's going to be tough because
they play two different styles of basketball that you have to work through the kinks in order to make that work as a unit. That's why, not because they're not talented.
Okay, but let's say this, right? And I think we both can agree on this. You know, one thing we can't take away from Kyrie, mm-hmm, is that he's one of the smartest, brightest basketball players, maybe in this generation. When I say basketball players, I mean IQ. Like, he understands the game from a different level. He's a coach on there right now. His approach could be different, and not everyone may not respect it, but he's that smart. So when it comes to Kyrie Irving, and this is what LT said on our episode that just dropped on YouTube today, right? He looked at me. He said, "Brandon, you need to do your homework." Because we were debating who's the best defensive player. And I said, Aaron Donald can play all positions. And he said, "You need to do your research. You need to get in the locker room, because I play everything and I coach," right? That's what LT said. Mm-hmm. So, Ashley, you need to do your homework. So I'm going to take that line, that soundbite from LT, and throw it to you.
I know you're not trying to school me on basketball, right?
Yes, exactly what I'm doing. You need to do your homework. You need to do your homework. Why? Because Kyrie, when he was on season 3, he said, mm-hmm, he was the one that adapted to KD and James Harden. right?
Katie,
like
it's
hold, hold on, let me just a little five okay. seconds. I'll
go
throw
ahead.
It to you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
He said he was the one that you know subscribed to this new way of basketball. So you don't think he'll do that with Luka? And you don't think he's gonna come in there right away and be dynamic because what he's trying to get what the money, the bag. So I think that they're gonna immediately hit it off and be dynamic.
I don't think I'm not saying that they would. They're not going to be dynamic. I'm saying to really be successful when you talk about Western Conference Finals, when you talk about championships, that's not going to happen overnight. And you can't even really use James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant as an example, because that chemistry was really never worked out completely because they didn't really play that long together. And there were issues with that as well. So like, that's not a great example because we don't really know what that team would have looked like if they flushed through all the kinks. And there were kinks when the three of them were on the floor together, as expected. That's a new team. You don't just, chemistry doesn't just fall off the wall. Like, you have to develop it. I'm not saying that Kyrie and Luka won't have magic. I'm not going to say that they're not even going to give defenders hell. I'm simply saying they play two different styles of basketball that contradict each other if you don't find the sweet spot of coexistence. So Luka is somebody who has the ball in his hand a lot. That's why he freaking scores 60
Ashley.
Points. Like it's like a like it's 20.
Ashley.
Like he's the primary ball handler. That's what he does.
Ashley, where are you from? Where are you from?
What do you mean, where am I from?
Where are you from?
New York. I'm so confused. What are you saying to me right now?
From New York. Some would say that it's a excuse the change of my audio, but some would say that it's the basketball mecca, right?
It is the basketball mecca.
Okay, it is even better. Makes my point even stronger. Okay, so when you talk about New York, what do New York basketball players do the best outside of dribble? Let me answer it for
they
you.
They shoot.
Yeah, well, yes. They put the ball in the basket. That is basketball. That's everything. So what
are
you talking about? The style of basketball.
That Luka, matters, though, Brandon.
Luka and freaking Kyrie Irving, they both going to put the ball in the basket.
It matters.
The same thing I was saying with KD. The same thing I was saying with KD and Kyrie.
Katie and
same
Kyrie,
thing. They're both going to average. They're both going to average 25 plus
but they
buckets
play,
tonight.
It's not the same thing though. Luka is not Kevin Durant. They play different styles of basketball. There's a reason why Luka has so many points on any given night is because he has the ball in his hand most of the time. And again, can they learn to share the ball? Yeah, but Luka's also somebody who on a freaking 24-second clock will dribble the ball down until like five before he makes a shot. Kyrie is
Ashley.
Not a spot up shooter like that. He needs more time to get into a rhythm.
Ashley.
Was
this not the same?
Ashley,
was this not the same conversation that all you NBA experts were saying and basketball experts were saying when James Harden and Kyrie and KD came together? Everybody was saying this was a science experiment.
The only thing that people were concerned about with James Harden and Kyrie is that they both like to have the ball in their hand a lot, but it had nothing to do. James Harden can release that basketball. And
no, we didn't. No. Hold on. Time out. No. Don't do that. He was not doing that in Houston like that.
Because he was the primary ball handler. He didn't have to.
My point is that James Harden didn't have a resume to show that he can defer. Right when he was the guy, like he was the third choice when he was with the OKC Thunder. But once he got to Houston, there was no history of him deferring. So all I'm saying is it was the same conversation that we're having. And then James Harden came in and deferred. Kyrie Irving came in and said, you know what, I'll play off the ball. KD didn't have to change much. He was KD, but it was the same story. All y'all NBA experts were saying the same thing.
What do I know?
I'm just a football guy.
I think we're saying different things. But listen, if you want to say something to us, call in at 888-623-3646. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6 if you want to go ahead and chime in on this conversation and be the tiebreaker between me and Brandon, because I think we're saying two drastically different things. But listen, I can understand his emotions are involved in this conversation because he's a quote unquote Nets fan and he just lost Kyrie Irving, and his dreams of winning a final once again are slipping between his fingertips. And I get it. It's sad. You know, I get it.
And yours is a Knicks fan.
But you know what? The Knicks jokes don't hurt me because I've been bred to deal with pain. Okay. They don't, just like the cowboy jokes don't hurt my feelings. I was bred for this life. It's been my entire existence. Sure.
If you had to switch teams, basketball, NBA, and NFL, who would it be?
If I had to.
The Knicks is kicked out of the NBA. Cowboys kicked out of the NFL.
I would probably either be a Heat fan because we live here and I have a lot of friends on that team, so I feel like it'd be easy to root for them. Or a Warriors fan, because Steph Curry is my favorite player in the league. Or outside of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry is my next favorite player. So
okay, all right, now and NFL.
Football, shoot, damn, who would I? One in the NFC East, that's for damn sure.
Oh my goodness, what?
I'd probably be a Chiefs fan. No, I'd be a Bengals fan. I like Joey B, but I might be a Chiefs fan too. It depends.
Now Broncos.
Because
you know they got Russell Wilson and Coach Payton.
No.
You saw Coach Payton's introduction.
I saw, but it wouldn't be enough for me to be a Broncos fan. It'd probably be Chiefs, or it would be the Bengals. And then basketball would be the Warriors, or it would be the Heat. I took another L in football, Brandon. It was sad because Sean Payton, as you know, is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. And as you also know, I was gunning for him to replace Big Mike, but I'm stuck with Big Mike, and Sean Payton and Russell Wilson are now a couple. So congratulations to the happy couple. I hope it's a terrible marriage. But listen, this is what Sean Payton had to say on Wilson's personal QB coach being in the building. Listen to this.
That's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here. Our players will be here, and that'll be it.
Interesting. Listen, Wilson's quarterback coach, Jake Heaps, as well as other support personnel with the quarterback have been in the building. But as you just heard, Sean Payton made it very clear that is not how he runs things. So you think there's going to be some contention between the two?
Absolutely not. Listen, I'm not going to hide this, that I know Russell Wilson. And at times I talk to him. And this is what I would say about Russell Wilson. He is ecstatic to be working with Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the day, a couple years ago, when he was the Seattle thing was coming to an end. Mm-hmm. And, right when it came to an end, we looked at like, what could be the next move? And for me, I stood on the table. I was like, bro, get to New Orleans. Because remember, I was playing for the Seattle Seahawks, and then I was cut by them right before the trade deadline. They tried to trade me to the New England Patriots to play tight end, and it didn't happen. And then I went to the Saints. I had my last cup of tea there. And I was like, yo, bro, you'll fit in perfectly here. So I've spoken to Russell about Sean Payton before when he was going through his process and how much I love playing for Payton, although it was a short stint. And he is ecstatic about playing with Sean Payton. Sean Payton answering the question the way he did is why Russell Wilson is going to freaking thrive in his program, why Russell Wilson is excited to play for him, right? But let's also not get it twisted, as you know, on this side of things, Ashley. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady had Alex G. Remember, the Crafts built a whole facility for Tom Brady's team. Let's not get that twisted. And also, folks, let me tell you this. Little old me, Brandon Marshall, when I used to walk in the Chicago Bears facility, when I used to walk in the Jets and the Giants facility, I had my people too.
Really?
I'm going to tell you, what? Come on. This is a universal thing. They're trying to make this out to be a Russell Wilson thing. It's not a Russell Wilson thing. Sometimes, man, like your team is better than their team. And I'm not saying this to be true,
I'm not saying this is true for the Denver Broncos, because I played in the Denver Broncos organization. Great people. They spare no expense in making sure they take care of their players. But Russell Wilson, I mean, he said it in an interview 2 years ago. He's invested over $1 million a year on his team. This dude works his ass off. So if you have a guy like me, little old me, you know, bringing in my own guys, why wouldn't you think Russell Wilson would be able to bring in his own guys, right? But I think this is going to be a great partnership, right? Sean Payton's coming in. Great. Love Sean Payton. Played for him. Mm-hmm. Love him. I can text him to this day. But one thing I do know is Sean Payton went and took this job if Russell Wilson wasn't there. So Sean Payton can come in. He's supposed to say that, Ashley. He's supposed to act like that. If he doesn't, then he ain't going to gain no respect from the organization.
So
you don't think,
but that's what I'm saying. So, but Russell's obviously not going to have his guy in the building, because you can't say that as a head coach and then renege on your word.
That's fine. Russell Wilson, you walk around Russell Wilson's house, all he got is wind around his house. That's it.
And his baby's name is Wynn. His son is named Wynn.
That's all he cares about. That's all he cares about. If Sean Payton comes in and he has the blueprint to winning, Russell Wilson do whatever it takes. Russell Wilson will jump out of a damn airplane for Sean Payton if he says this is what it takes to win your second Super Bowl.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.